Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined, as always, by Lukewarm Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
Doing good. I have just started watching the Vice documentary series Dark Side of the Ring.
What? Really?
Not just start. I've seen the episodes here and there, but I thought, I'm going to go from the start. And that lasted one episode, and then I just started jumping around. So I've just seen, because I never saw it when it came out, because I've heard the story quite enough times, thank you very much, the Montreal Screwjob.
Yeah, I mean, that was an episode that I thought, I've heard this story a thousand times over. Do I really need to hear it again? But it was very good. It was kind of like interesting, because like it was... Usually when you hear stories like of the Montreal Screwjob, you just hear one person talk about it. So it's like, oh, I've listened to an interview with Vince Russo when he's talked, or a shoot interview with Vince Russo when he's talked about it. I've listened to an interview with Dave Meltzer and he's talked about it. I've listened to a shoot interview with Jim Cornette. So it was quite nice to essentially hear like an aggregate of the stories glued together to form one narrative. So that was quite nice.
And that narrative is Jim Cornette wants to literally piss on Vince Russo's grave.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's popular right now to dislike Cornette, and for good reason, but my God, can he cut a promo? Holy crap! Half of that show, you know, half of the episode, which isn't made for us, really, it's made for mainstream fans, they might not be that familiar with all the intricacies of the Montreal Screwjob. This is for them. Yet still... it is about 40% Jim Cornette shoot on Vince Russo.
Yeah, that's basically what it boils down to in the end. Like, I think Meltzer even said that at the time, like when the episode came out, he's like, it's less about the Montreal Screwjob at the end of the day. It's more just about Jim Cornette getting his feelings out there about what he thinks of Vince Russo.
The ending of the episode where they start running the trailers, sorry, the credits, is just intercutting between Jim Cornette saying, I take every possible opportunity to call him a liar, and I will piss on his grave, even if I'm immobile. My wife has it that written down that if she does not wheel me there to piss on the grave, she's written out of the will. And then, you know, it cuts back to Vince Russo, and he's just like, bro, like a Pokemon, only saying one word. And it felt like the trailer for the next episode. Like, the next episode was just going to be the true main event of the Montreal Screwjob, Jim Cornette versus Vince Russo. I know I'm very late on this, but I also, when I was listening to reviews at the time and they described it, it was described as a debate between Cornette and Vince Russo quite often. And it very much is that. But my stupid monkey brain decided that meant they were in the same room as each other. And now that is all I want.
No, that's, we don't want that. Like,
the internet wants conflict.
No, that's not what we want.
It wants conflict and outrage. Give it to them.
No,
more negativity.
It won't be as good as people think it will be, because like with the benefit of it being, you know, cutting head, talking heads, is you can rehearse promos and you can cut around it and you can make it sound more interesting than it is. An actual on-stage debate will just be the pair of them getting flustered. And then we'll just eventually just boil down to Jim Cornette shouting at Vince Russo various different obscenities, and Vince Russo going like, bro, we got a difference of opinion. You think it went this way? I thought it went this way. But bro, at the end of the day, this is the way I remember it happening, bro. And then Jim Cornette will be like, what do I think about this? Nothing. You're your brother. I'll piss on your grave. And that's all it will be. And it will actually won't be any fun to watch whatsoever.
Incorrect. You have just described what I want to see. Plus, Cornette won't get flustered. He is, you know, I've worked with him quite closely when he did his UK tour. And the man is just... He talks so well. You know, he is a professional talker. He's a wrestling promo guy. He is just a string of, you know, close to the bone anecdotes.
Some
very, very compelling and charismatic.
Some of which make it into UK speaking tours, and often they don't. Often they just remain behind the camera.
That was back in 2012, 2013. And that would be around the same time as all this Nikki Bella and China stuff has come out. And I think we've had this discussion, but if you haven't seen it, folks, clip has resurfaced from Joan Rivers' old sort of comedy chat show daytime thing in the early teens called Fashion Police. And they get a picture of China out, and Joan Rivers, classic insult comedian, makes some horrible jokes about China, but that's her shtick. And the Bella twins kind of join in. They say, oh, we don't know whether she's a man or a woman. When the joke doesn't even work, because China looks very classically feminine in this picture. You know, it's like in the sort of Playboy pinup phase. Anyway, that was said. That was only 7-8 years ago. I feel like that kind of daytime TV was a product of the early noughties or even 90s.
But it was, I mean, we said this about WWE. It's that hanging on to like, oh, this was something that really worked in the late 90s, early aughts. It'll probably still work now, 10 to 15 years later though, right? And it sort of does play to a certain demographic. Like I still think that style of show still has an audience out there. It's just not the mass audience that it once was.
I think I bet it probably is actually quite large. It's just... I'm not in these, but I see my friends' WhatsApp groups and they are huge. And it is similar kind of things. Plus, this wasn't WWE. This was...
I wasn't saying it was WWE. I was saying it's like WWE would often hang on to those things that were popular, you know, many moons previous. I was watching BBC Breakfast the other day, and they were talking about Anne Robinson taking over the presenting role on Countdown. So if you are unaware, Anne Robinson is a British TV personality. She used to host a show in the late 90s, early aughts called The Weakest Link, which I think
she did that in the States as well.
Yes, I was going to say, I think it was a British show that then got transferred across to the US, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
I actually forgot, you're right, she did do the US version of it as well. And
she was a cold, mean woman. Oof.
Exactly. Her shtick was... Her shtick was, if someone said something wrong, she would call you thick or like, you're dumb. What a dumb face you are. You smell of poo. I can't believe you're not actual PCs because you're so smelly and a terrible, ugly person. And that was basically her shtick. You would go on there to get roasted. I've spoken to people before who weren't on The Weakest Link and will sort of very jokingly say, I still have PTSD from being on that show of Anne Robinson insulting me. And like, I think about it quite a lot. So
really,
you know, yeah, they'd be like, every now and again, just be like, oh man, like it really like she was very vicious on that show. Like it was, you know, like, but that was what you went on there for. Like, and that's why people tuned in to watch Anne Robinson effectively roast people because they didn't know the capital of Switzerland or something, or didn't bank when they probably should have done, or only got like one question right when someone else got two. But you know, the guy who was interviewing her was like, is this going to be a different Anne Robinson to the one we saw doing the weakest thing? Because Countdown plays to a very different audience. Countdown is for Nans having a cup of tea who just want to do a word jumble or maybe a little maths quiz. And she said, yes, because what I was doing on The Weakest Link would not stand up today with PC and wokeness and Twitter backlash. I would never be able to do what I did on The Weakest Link in today's TV.
Yeah, I agree. I think what I have observed of life offline, which frankly isn't that often the last year, people don't really care about the wokeness.
I think there is.
I don't think I've ever met someone in real life who genuinely, like, 100% subscribes to the stuff.
Oh God, no. No, absolutely no. Not. No, but my point is that, like, I think your argument that the audience is out there for it, I think it is incredibly minimal. I think people who may watch idiots online, like, I don't know, The Quartering and sort of jackasses like that, would probably sort of enjoy that style of TV show. But I don't think a wider audience is there for it. It's not like it was 20 odd years ago.
You're going to put me in I don't want to have to say the silent majority. That's what the other side say. You back him into a corner here.
That's because can't say anything these days. Wokeness and all that sort of stuff. Ugh, caring about people's feelings. What a bunch of gay. Obviously, that is not me saying that. That is me.
You're allowed to say that as of tomorrow, I believe. Because Pride Month's over.
Right, anyway, let's get into
Wednesday. It'll be Thursday. We'll open the AEW review.
We'll get into the Raw podcast now. We struggled to find a title for the show this week because there's not much to say about it.
Hey, it was a good show. That sounds like you're negging it.
I'm not negging it. There's just nothing to say about it. Here's the show.
We've had 2 weeks of okay episodes of Raw. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Lukewarm Luke Owen. We're here to review last night's episode of Monday Night Raw, which was pretty good. It was all right, folks, and that right now is a colossal win. Hopefully, it can last past next week, because that means we've gone through the 3 weeks. Well, we don't want this to be just a 3 week push.
Next week matches the 3 weeks.
Yes.
It's the week after that is when it's going to get past the 3 weeks.
Which is why I said through next week.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Okay. Now I understand what you're saying. Sorry. I do apologize. Yes. I didn't mean to try and correct you there.
Please give us a subscribe to see if Raw is also good next week. And through that week afterwards, on the road to Money in the Bank and then SummerSlam and all these big reported plans that WWE have in store for us. Also, because the AEW Dynamite review returns this Thursday with me and Luke. It's back on Wednesday night, folks. Thank God. Did you watch Saturday's episode?
I have only seen the main events. I watched the Jungle Boy Kenny Omega match, which was absolutely excellent. Pretty much, I think, as many people thought it would be, it was excellent.
It was a really great main event. Great show as well, overall. Really enjoyed it. But yes, we've got that coming on Thursday. NXT, all the usual stuff. Like and subscribe. Get in your Ultra Chats to wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one over $5 while we talk for now about the best thing on this okay episode of Raw, which was the through line of Riddle starting the show, getting put in this battle royal because Randy Orton was, you know, mysteriously away. We don't know whether it's a genuine injury. You know, the times we live in, it's not out of the ordinary for people to just be missing for a couple of weeks, or if it's storyline. If whatever it was, I thought if it was a late change, they handled it incredibly well. So Matt Riddle gets put in this battle royal. He wins it. He gets to go into the triple threat main event where the winner gets added as the last spot in Money in the Bank. And if of course, Riddle's already in that match. So if he wins, Randy gets put in instead. A great night-long story.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed this story. I enjoyed Matt Riddle throughout this. Randy Orton not being there actually almost like elevated this story somewhat. Like it actually made it better that Randy wasn't there to tell this Matt Riddle thing. Because Matt Riddle, like he goes up to DeVille and Pierce and he's like, hey, look, Randy can't be here tonight, but I've got this letter from Randy that says he wants me to go into the match in his place. And it's a letter that's quite clearly been written by Matt Riddle himself. It looks like it's in crayon and whatnot. And in the end, DeVille's like, hey, it's fine with me. Off you go into the battle royal. And then Matt Riddle wins this battle royal of a last eliminating Damian Priest. And he goes to like the timekeeper's area and he just says, play Randy's music. And then he rolls into the ring. Randy Orton's been, I hear voices in my head. And he does the pose and the pyro goes off. The Randy Orton like sparkly golden shower pyro goes off. And then later on in the night, Damian Priest approaches him and he's like, hey, Riddle, I want to talk to you about Randy Orton. He's like, no, I am Randy Orton. I'm the Viper. I'm the Legend Killer. It's because he's trying to get into like Randy Orton mode. The only thing that was missing from this was Matt Riddle doing Randy Orton's entrance for the main event. That was the only thing I would have liked. That would have been my cherry on top of this. And then him coming this close to winning the match with the RKO and having a Moss like balls that up by dragging AJ out of the ring and him running into the Claymore from Drew after coming back from the injury as well was just such a really good little ending to this. Because Matt did his best to get Randy Orton into Money in the Bank. And when Randy Orton returns next week, he's going to find out that he's not in Money in the Bank. And it's sort of Riddle's fault that he's not in. So that's going to be a really interesting interaction with them next week.
Yeah, because who knows if Riddle hadn't well-intentionally added himself to the match. Maybe DeVille and Pierce would have been like, oh, well, we'll let you compete for something next week. You'll face the winner of tonight's main event or something like that. So it wasn't until Priest came up to Riddle backstage and was like, oh, anyone would be really lucky to have a friend like you, Riddle. I thought, don't you dare mention Bad Bunny. And he didn't. We'll talk about Priest more in a bit. And they're doing all that. And I thought, that was the first time I thought, oh my God, Riddle's turning heel. Because what I love Riddle about this story. Heel. Well, hear me out. I think that's my answer to everything at the moment. Turn Kofi heel. Turn Riddle heel. All the baby faces turn heel as a zigzag redirect. So what I love about this story is it's good. It's got very good characters and it's resonating. Those are like the fundamentals, though. That's really what all wrestling stories should do. But what this does better than, and what really elevates it, I think, alongside like the storytelling of an AEW, is that it zigs when you think it's going to zag. Like last week, I thought, okay, I know how the wrestling works. Riddle and Orton win their matches. They both get added to Money in the Bank. They combust there. No. Riddle won, Orton lost. If it was going to be any way round, I would have thought Riddle would have lost that, especially in the match against Drew. And here, I was like, okay, night-long storyline. Riddle's going to get Randy Orton in. Yes, I'm all for that. And like you said, he loses. I'm like, oh my God, that's even better. So I'm very impressed that WWE are telling such a good story.
And this is what I kind of I've very much admired about the last couple of weeks of television. And I said this on last week's show as well. But I think it bears repeating here. WWE are doing the bare minimum to make a good wrestling show But because the bar has been set so woefully low all year long, last week's was hilarious because everyone was like, oh my God, best show of the year. Like, what an amazing show.
Was.
Like, it was such an average show of Raw. But like, it was like, oh my God, what a breath of fresh air to have an average show.
Those two statements weren't mutually exclusive. It was both the best and average show.
And then this week again, like, I was watching the show and it ended. I was like, "Huh, it was a show. It was a perfectly fine show." But everyone was like, "Man, they've done it again. They've unlocked the secret."
But was it better than SmackDown?
Well, so this is our talking point of the episode, and it's something that a lot of people have been saying about SmackDown as of late. Lost Intangibles have been saying this about SmackDown for quite a while now. Is that, and I've said this on a few shows as well, SmackDown is just as bad as Raw, but it's got the really good Roman Reigns stuff on there. And because, what's the other thing?
And it's 2 hours long.
Well, yeah, okay, it's an hour shorter. But really, honestly, it still feels like it's 3 hours because the rest of that undercard sucks.
And, oh, yeah, but just as much as Raw does.
But like, so SmackDown is a boring show, but the Roman stuff is really good. And it usually takes up about 40 to 50, sometimes 60% of the show. So you walk away from SmackDown and be like, man, what an amazing show that was. But like, it's got all of the same repetitive crap. Nakamura Corbin having a best of 12 match series over a crap looking crown is terrible television. And the tag team division stuff isn't great either. And like the women's stuff isn't, because there's only three women on the show. So that's not really helping matters either. Maybe it's four. But like Raw for the last couple of weeks has been, for the first time this year, where I can officially say it's a better show than SmackDown at the moment, because there's maybe two to three things that I really like on this show. Three is at a push, but there's certainly two that I like.
I thought there were many things to like on this show. The women's division is goddamn awful. That not the wrestlers, the way it's booked. I think it's abysmal. But I think everything else was either good to pretty damn good. And just as like an example to show you, I don't know if you've seen a lot of SmackDown recently, but one of the, how do I share my audio at the same time?
Are you sharing a screen, are you?
Yeah.
So if you do share screen, there'll be, and you can do a Chrome tab, and there'll be a little button that says share audio.
Oh yeah, I got it. So yeah, look how bad it's got. Look how bad this has gotten. Have you seen this?
This
was on SmackDown on June 14th.
Oh, yeah? Roman Reigns kisses Sasha Banks.
Yeah. Look what happens. So Sasha's doing a promo.
Are you kidding me?
Looks like some kind of contract signing segment.
Is this your doing?
But Roman interrupts.
But what you just saw.
And listen to the audio quality.
I just want to help you.
How about this game?
I think they've gone over the top with the AR, the you know, like the graphics.
Yeah, that it's a bit much, isn't it? I thought the Alexa Bliss one was quite bad. The Asuka one was way worse.
Yeah. So look, like,
if you want
so what is happening title, here?
Come out here. It's a
clip. Look, and Roman comes out. Have you heard this new music he's got? Have you heard the music?
I did hear that his new theme was very good. I didn't realise that they were doing a remix of it.
What a character change. I think Raw is better than this.
Well, I don't know. I'm quite captivated by this.
Look. And now they're in a Pizza Hut commercial.
Yeah. He's United States champion now. Oh, is this like a flashback?
I think so.
It feels like it's a flashback because Sasha's also the Romans. So this is just like, oh man, do you remember what happened to them like a few years ago?
It's mad, isn't it?
Where there's... So, I mean, for the sake of our audience...
No. Let me show you more. This is a YouTube channel that I have found called 2099 WWE.
They have almost as many subscribers as we do.
Look at some of these thumbnails. Look, It's all Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns kisses Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, can you see it? 1.9 million. And look, it's a genuine shot of Ronda with her hands round Roman's body. And look,
it's not a genuine shot, though, is it?
It's the next clip as well. It is. Hey, and there's one of Nikki Bella.
Dude, you and I have both been told very recently what the YouTube algorithm likes is consistency. They like the same content being uploaded on your channel all the time. And this person here has found what works for them. And that is Roman Reigns kisses another woman. And they get 2 million views. We very rarely break 100,000 at least at this point.
Look at that far right thumbnail there. That's the one for the video we've just watched. Look how great that shot is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, so like, dude, they're doing something right. We're the people who are doing it wrong here because we're idiots just discussing what happens on the show. What we really should be doing is orchestrating thumbnails where we're just kissing each other. Like, that's the thumbnails that we should be doing, right? You sure? I think that would draw. I'm pretty sure that's what the audience would actually want us to do. Not Photoshop, like, because like those Photoshops there were like Roman Reigns almost doing a Jungle Boy on Anna Jay. You know, looking.
Oh, I believe Matt Hancock got there first. I mean, Hancock grab.
He really was doing a Hancock grab. I'm glad I wasn't the only person who thought that. But like, you know, I think that you putting your hands around my waist, grabbing my ass with a big old switch on my face. That.
Lockdown's lifting. We'll just have a smooch for the content.
A smooch for the content. Smooching it for the content.
Smoochy, smoochy. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. Should we do some Ultra Chats or have we got anything else to say already?
I mean, do you think Raw is better than SmackDown before we move into Ultra Chats?
I don't know. We're based on 2 weeks. We just thought it'd be a good thumbnail.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. I don't know. Week, Raw is better than SmackDown.
Yeah,
I think overall, they both got their flaws and positives.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Thank you.
Yeah. Ruben Madeira says, while I think that this week's Raw and SmackDown were on par with one another, I think SmackDown in general is way better than Raw. The main event scene and Intercontinental title picture are booked better on SmackDown, even though recently it's felt more repetitive. I think that's the problem with SmackDown, is it's just very repetitive. Ooh.
Yeah, like Big E and Apollo Crews had their, I think, 300th match this year on Raw, on SmackDown this past Friday. Mm.
Not to say that Raw hasn't been repetitive, but it's like it's stopped being repetitive as of 3 weeks ago, I'd say.
Last week.
DarTrain24 spent this morning on YouTube watching old clips of when Edge lost one Elimination Chamber to win another and dropped the title to Punk, who cashed in Money in the Bank. The booking has been so bad lately that they ruined Money in the Bank. Luke?
This company. And yeah, like Money in the Bank hasn't mattered a job for a fair number of years now.
Well, maybe this is the year they've got a plan to actually cash it in, as well as who to put it on.
I can almost guarantee that you said the same thing last year.
Meow Lass, just wait for the 2099 WWE channel, which is the clips channel we just watched, put up a video of Ollie kisses Luke and Mark Flay. What the frick did I just watch? SmackDown has really gone downhill. I agree. I am shocked by that clip.
Or has it gone uphill? Because, I mean, that video of Roman kissing Ronda Rousey had 2 million views, which is on par with what SmackDown does pull in as a weekly rating. So really, who's to say who's doing it wrong or who's doing it better?
Certainly not us. Only the content views is what matters. So Raw opened with this, the Riddle bit. He got added to the Battle Royal, which he won to decide who goes into the Triple Threat main event. And I thought this was a pretty fun opener. We had a lot of stories going on in there where we got Mansoor getting thrown out by Ali, which is a nice progression of Ali telling Mansoor, don't trust anyone, particularly me. Some 24/7 title changes. Meh. Jinder Mahal was in there. And he eliminated a few people, but was dumped out in the final four, I think. And Damian Priest. He's back.
So Damian Priest has been gone since WrestleMania Backlash in the zombie match. We haven't seen him on TV since, because he's no longer feuding with The Miz. Therefore, there's nothing else for him to do. And there were various reports. Some people said that he was injured. It came out last week from Fightful Select that he had some personal issues. That's why he was taking some time off. I don't know why you would just bring him back into this random battle royal here, particularly when last week you set up the idea that Jinder Mahal was going to get his way into the Money in the Bank match. So for my money, surely a much more interesting story to tell in this battle royal is that Jinder makes it all the way to the end and Matt Riddle is the one that beats him off the apron to win, as opposed to Jinder just gets eliminated and it comes down to Priest versus Riddle, which, don't get me wrong, was very, very good. But if you set up the Jinder thing last week, then maybe you want to pay it off with a little bit more this week.
I think that's a great idea. I really, really do, because you play off of that fan, oh my God, what are they going to do? They're building Jinder to face Drew in the main event. That, you know, that's a reported feud. They want to do it. And it plays into those fears. Just like all those times you'd have Roman Reigns put in the last two of a Royal Rumble.
It's Roman Nakamura.
Like, we want the other guy, though. And you play with that. And it really, really does work. I agree. Plus, like, if you're going to bring Priest back, why do you do it in a match he has to lose? I get that him being thrown out of in the final two is like not as bad as tapping out or saying I quit or pinned, but just why? Why wouldn't you just bring him back in a storyline or a squash match on someone or John Morrison?
Don't have a John Morrison match, you sadist. The reason why is because they've got nothing for him, and they've had nothing for him since Bad Bunny hightailed it out of there. So just to go over everyone who was in this match, it was, because I did write it down, Jeff Hardy, Drew Gulak, Mustafa Ali, Shelton Benjamin, the Viking Raiders, R-Truth, Damian Priest, Mansoor, Cedric Alexander, Jinder Mahal, Angel Garza, Akira Tozawa, and Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle was the only one to get an entrance in all of that. It also looks like Angel Garza's third or fourth three-week push since he came into the main roster last year is 100% done and over with.
He did a little hop round the ring. Both feet did not touch, only one. It was a spot-filled battle royal. Certainly passed the time quickly. And of course, Damian Priest lost, but then he popped up later in the friends thing. I feel like that's what Keith Lee would be doing if he was on TV right now.
I was going to say, Keith Lee did this exact same promo with Drew last year about Sheamus.
After that, which I thought that was a very fun opener. I know we dunked on it a bit, and it's not the optimum use of Priest, but overall very good stuff. And then we go straight into freaking women's bollocks division. So Shayna Baszler is now shuffling cards backstage.
Stop. Okay, yeah, before you do that. No, you need to do that. I was going to talk about the AJ. Do you want to go and quickly talk about the AJ promo?
Oh, I guess, yeah. So Amos came out and pulled out both of the Viking Raiders, helped by Jinder at the same time. And yeah, I've got no notes on the AJ promo.
Oh, I do, because AJ literally was talking about how he thought this was going to be a singles match between him and Drew. And now Matt Riddle's been added in to make it a three-way, which means his odds have drastically gone down.
Did he say that?
I am almost certain he said, he used the sign line of drastic go down.
Thank you, AJ. We mock you a lot. I'm glad that's one internet meme of yourself you've taken on board. Yeah, so Shayna shuffles cards now. I am worried about this. It was only a several second glimpse, cuts backstage. She's shuffling some cards. Pretty good shuffling. You know, doing the old into with the two piles and everything. And then Nia Jax and Reginald come over and start talking to her. You know, like, she's the ace of spades, right? The queen of spades.
Queen of spades.
Queen of Spades. I feel like Vince has looked at that while thinking, how do we add more depth to Shayna's character? She's eaten people. But this card gimmick, I reckon in 3 weeks' time, she's going to shuffle the deck of cards, look at a card, and that will be what she does to her opponent.
I always go back to on Pritchard's podcast, he on the CM Punk episodes, this is like early doors of the Pritchard show, he talked about how it was still the main roster at that point, because like ECW was essentially what NXT is now. And Vince and Pritchard and everyone else just did not get CM Punk. So Pritchard just sort of sat down with Punk and was just like, clearly your tattoos are who you are. Tell me what the tattoos are. Like trying to understand like what the character of CM Punk is. And I just imagine Pritchard sat down with Shayna Baszler and said, the Queen of Spades. What does that mean? what do you mean by the Queen of Spades? Let's really dive into that. And what he determined from that was, get her a pack of cards. That's now her gimmick.
Yeah. So Shayna probably went, it means this, blah, 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 blah. Really deep characterization stuff. And he walks away. Oh, literal playing cards.
Yeah, or I think more likely she just went, it's a cool nickname. Mm. And he was like, cool, pack of cards.
She took on Nikki Cross because Nikki Cross beat her last week. And Nikki had a promo beforehand doing the same inspirational superhero stuff. And she revealed that her name is now Nikki Ash. And the Ash stands for almost a superhero.
I mean,
that's what I took it to mean. She came out and then her name bar said Nikki Cross.
But yeah, they kept calling her Nikki Cross.
The way the promo was delivered, I definitely thought it meant my name is now Nikki Ash.
Well, I thought that as well until her name bar still said Nikki Cross and the commentators kept calling her Nikki Cross and she was introduced as almost a superhero Nikki Cross.
That's a much nicer. I like almost a superhero Nikki Cross. And to be honest, this match was pretty good if you take away the outside interference of Bliss coming down and doing powers with Nia Jax and Reginald. Kicked them both. The stuff between Shayna and Nikki didn't go that long, but yeah, Nikki pinned her And it's just nice to see Nikki actually wrestling as opposed to running away from people. And it was clean.
And this is what we said last week. This gimmick is going to get her TV time. And it's gotten her TV time thus far. I mean, it sucks that it's coming at the expense of Shayna Baszler, but Shayna Baszler's done nothing but get pinned in 2021. So this is just another week at the office for her.
After that, we had Kofi Kingston coming out, kind of a really good promo. That some people are saying this is an amazing segment. I thought it was a pretty good segment. I thought the same about people are going wild about the Conan Tully Blanchard segment on Dynamite on Saturday. And I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good. I didn't think it was mind blowing. But people are similarly very impressed here. I just thought it was incredibly solid. Kofi demanded respect for Woods. And he vowed revenge on Bobby. And then MVP comes out with not prostitutes. MVP keeps making that clear on Twitter.
No, they're Lashley sisters.
I love how he has to say this. Because there is nothing more, like, you know, we joked, there he is with all these, you know, like, he's women. What are they doing there? Are they sisters? And the more MVP says, guys, they're not prostitutes. Like, I'm sure some people on Twitter are saying it. We're saying they're sisters.
I guarantee you,
prostitutes.
Every single week, someone is tweeting and being like, why are you bringing prostitutes out on the stage? Tom Skerr recently put on Twitter, because you know, like, he released a game last year called Muffin Time. And one of the things in Muffin Time is you got a blank card that's called Draw Your Own Card, right? So you can draw your own little rule on there to add to it. Every day, and he posted up on Twitter recently, he said, when I do the next edition of this game, I'm going to call it Draw Yourself Your Own Card, because everyone keeps misinterpreting as that, draw a card from the deck, and just, you know, as opposed to draw your own card. And he said, I get this tweet every single day of someone not understanding these rules. So I guarantee you, every single week, MVP is getting 1,000 or so people being like, why are you bringing prostitutes out onto the stage? It's like, guys, they're not prostitutes. I'm not going to reply to all of you. I'm just telling every single person.
To someone who's not aware that he's being sent those messages, it's very funny to just see MVP on a weekly basis saying, especially, they're not prostitutes, guys.
Especially if you're not watching the product, but you're still following MVP on Twitter.
What is he? I mean,
what's happened? I didn't think
they were prostitutes, but the lady doth protest.
I really enjoyed his feud with Matt Hardy in 2005, but I don't know what he's talking about these days.
So MVP says Bobby was off, enjoying a much deserved vacation. So another absence there. Don't know why. Don't know if it's storyline or whatever. But then Kofi kind of sort of challenged MVP. MVP's like, I'm not cleared, doing a heelish thing. And Kofi just got out there and kicked him in the head. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. I really enjoyed Kofi's promo because it's very, and like, kind of comparing it to the Conan Tully thing that you were mentioning from Dynamite, I think what people really appreciate about that segment, and the clip that I have seen of it, I've actually only seen Conan's section of it, which I very much enjoyed, it's because it feels real. Felt like Conan wasn't given a script. He just went out there and he just talked. And it was pure Conan. And like this, what this felt like, this didn't feel like someone had given Kofi a load of scripted stuff. This just felt like Kofi from the heart, just having a chat, saying with MVP. And I think that's why people have very much warmed to this and have reacted to it in such a positive way, because Kofi is incredibly good in this role and MVP is superb in the role that he's playing as well. And they both really want this to work and they're giving it their all to make sure that it does.
Those comedy and TV writers are certainly doing their jobs right, getting these sorts of promo material in here for them. Good work. Good work, writing team. Yeah. Unfortunately, just like this Raw, I'd be like, this is not excellent, but this is excellent by recent Raw standards, loving this. And then it will be a women's segment. I'm like, oh God, they're all awful in their own unique way. And I have just opened up iTunes for no reason. And the next segment was Asuka and Naomi taking on Doudrop and Eva Marie. I will pass this over to you because you hate this.
Yeah, I mean, first off, it's Apple Podcasts, please. And secondly, you could tell that you opened up something new on your laptop because your internet started to crap out for a second. Just double checking it's not me that's crapping out. No, is it? Is Davis just gone? Is it me? Yep, Ollie is gone. Right, sorry about that. Oh man, you did cancel. Okay, so what happened in this segment is, well, actually, I'll recap the whole thing. So 2 weeks ago, Eve Marie came back to WWE and she brought in Viper or Piper Niven from NXT UK. And the commentators didn't know who this was. This was just a mystery partner for Eve Marie. And Eve Marie was just like, so then Viper gets the win. And then Eve Marie, oh, hello, you're back.
Sorry, did I say Apple Podcasts? I meant to say Ethernet cable. I'd accidentally unplugged my Ethernet cable.
Okay, so that was 2 weeks ago that Eve Marie brought out this mystery woman. The commentators didn't know who she was. And then Eve Marie said on the commentary after the mystery woman won, the winner of this match is Eve Marie. And I was on this show and I defended this to the hilt. And I was like, this is a great story. Mm-hmm. I know that some people really that Piper Niven got a new character. Piper Niven's not the name I know her by anyway. I know her as Viper, so her getting another new name really doesn't irk me in any way whatsoever. Plus, it's a brand new character. So they were trying something different. They were trying something new, and I appreciate that. I appreciate them trying to do something new. The last week, however, they clearly did a bit of course correction because everyone on Twitter was like, why don't you know who Piper Niven is? Like, these millions of people out of nowhere who don't watch NXT UK were just like, oh, we all know that's Piper Niven. Thank you very much. So now the character is, she is Piper Niven, but Eve Marie has renamed her to Doudrop. But to keep some form of continuity, the commentators don't know that she's Piper Niven. But we, the audience, do know that she's Piper Niven, which is really bizarre because, man, it makes your commentary team look super stupid. And then last week, 7 days after you introduced this team, they started Ascension, where Piper Niven, sorry, Doudrop, jumped off the apron and Eve Marie got pinned. So this week, they're walking backstage together. And I'm like, why are you still together? And Eve Marie says to Kevin or not Renee, whoever it was, oh, Doudrop made a mistake last week. She made a rookie mistake last week, but she's going to learn the error of her way. And Doudrop is standing there being like, I don't know what you're talking about, mate. What are you talking about? I'm like, what are you still doing there then? If you don't want to be tagging with her because you know that she is manipulating you, don't bother hanging out with her. What is this accomplishing for you as a person to be hanging out with someone that you know is not acting in your best interest? The character totally works when they have bought into Eve Marie's inspirational nonsense, but she clearly hasn't bought into that. So why is she hanging out with her? Like, it makes no sense anymore. This was a really good, potentially okay. And now it just makes no sense. So what's the smegging point? This accomplishes absolutely nothing for anyone involved. And then Doudrop squashed Asuka and Naomi in about 2 minutes, which really buries and makes your Money in the Bank qualifier and contenders look absolutely pants. So what was the effing point in any of this? This sucked.
I think you're getting worked by Eva Marie, right? Where's this message that she... Oh, here it is. Here's what she tweeted after the show. As a future WWE Hall of Famer, I have a responsibility to pass on my experience and knowledge of the business to my very green protege. She is going to have to pay her dues in the business just like I did.
And that works. That absolutely works if Viper doesn't know that's what's happening. If Viper, the experienced veteran, doesn't realize that she's been manipulated and bought into the nonsense, right? But she doesn't. She clearly hasn't bought into it. She knows that Eve Marie is manipulating her. She knows that she's been given a stupid name. So it now no longer works.
Yeah, it's no good. And, you know, in all of this, Asuka and Naomi were beaten in a handicap match because Eva Marie never tagged in. In 2 minutes, 9 seconds, I made it.
Yeah.
So very frustrating.
Yeah, it's just frustrating. It could have been really good, but now it just doesn't make any sense, and now it's a bit dumb.
It could have been really good. It could have been okay. After that, we had a really surprisingly entertaining match between Ricochet and John Morrison. Not that they're
surprising.
I'm so bored of their characters. I felt like they work so hard. It got me over the hump of they could do the most athletic stuff in the world, I thought, and I wouldn't be interested. But they did all the athletic stuff so much, it got me into it, including a jumping Hurricane Rana off of Miz's wheelchair from Ricochet. And then this finish, and this was one of the parts of this show I really like, is that most of the finishes were clean. This was the only slightly screwy finish, but it worked. You know, DQ finishes or double countout finishes aren't always bad. It's just bad when you do them every single match. And you had Morrison sitting on the barricade. Ricochet gets up to the top rope, does a crossbody, launches himself at Morrison, takes him out. You can't see the crash mat on the other side, AEW. That's the key to this bit here. It looks sick. And neither man can get in the ring, double countout. Really, really great job of selling me on wanting to see them in the Money in the Bank match at the pay-per-view. This match did everything it was supposed to do. So a huge tick.
Massive, massive thumbs up for this. Really, really enjoyed this match. And it was such a good match that it made me forget the irritating segment that came before it when Ricochet was spraying Miz and Morrison with, I hate the dripstick so much. I am 35 years old. I hate the dripstick so, so much. And I was like, I hate you, Ricochet. I cannot believe this company has made me hate you. Physically, when you come on screen, I don't want you to be there. This company has made me not like you as a character. And they go down and he did a flip and I was like, oh man, he's the best. This is why Ricochet is the absolute best. Look at the flip. Do another flip. And then he did another flip. Then he did a really big flip at the end. It was so cool. A massive thumbs up from me.
Sadly, I don't think any amount of flips can save the Women's Championships picture right now, because up after that, we got Charlotte Flair tagging with Natalya and Tamina against Rhea Ripley, Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose. So all of those storylines that we do not care about. But both storylines, interestingly, that we don't know who the babyface or heel is in the scenario. And surprise, surprise, no matter how hard everyone worked in the ring, and they did, I had no investment in it. It was a total, just like, I phased out for the entire match. I was so bored.
I think, based on this segment and what we saw last week, we can now say for sure Charlotte Flair is the heel in the feud with Rhea Ripley, and Rhea Ripley is the babyface.
But at the end of the match, Ripley just... So Charlotte wins. Ripley runs in, punches Charlotte, and runs off.
Because that is what Flair would have done. Like, their story, I gather, is that Ripley is doing to Flair what Flair would have done to her, only she's getting there first. So she got herself DQ'd at the pay-per-view because Flair would have done that to retain her title. So Charlotte's like, oh, I'm teaching you lessons. And Rhea's like, I'm already learning and all this sort of stuff. Crikey. And so I think that is what the story is. So what happened here is she attacked her after the match, Ripley, that is, attacked Flair after the match, because that's what Flair would have done to her. She just got there first. That, I think, makes Ripley the babyface. And based on the promo we had last week with Natty and Tamina against Rose and Brooke are the babyfaces in their feud. So this was the three babyfaces against the three heels.
Elias and Ryker had a strap match. One of the things about a strap match that I never realized before, Luke, is that because your wrist is tied to the other guy via a strap, thus the strap match. When your wrist is put up on a ring post, the other wrist has to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice this?
Oh, yeah.
So you can't fight off the guy who's chopping you. You've got to do this.
So you know how you said you really struggle to pay attention during the six-woman tag? I think
this went 2 minutes.
I phased out of this match so hard.
It went two minutes.
And I know, and I cannot tell you, I've written in my notes, Ryker versus Elias strap match, Ryker wins. Those are my only notes I've got for this. I totally phased out. Elias has got new music as well, I think, which means they've taken the one unique thing about him away from him and have now made him just generic man. It's like Karrion Kross on Main Event. Hello, my gimmick is I am wrestler. This, yeah, I mean, a strap match that goes 2 minutes, awesome, brilliant.
After that, we got the Priest and Riddle bit, which we'd spoken about already. Drew did a promo talking about Scottish history again. Next week, he's going to be doing Burns Night or something, I think, just going through the podcast series. And the main event was excellent. Drew McIntyre versus AJ Styles versus Matt Riddle. I thought this was absolutely terrific. Spots, loads of really like great moments, but the one for me was Drew's put through a table outside. It comes down to Riddle and AJ in the middle, and Riddle goes for an RKO. AJ Styles catches him in a burning hammer, goes for the pin. Riddle pulls him out and just rams him into every barricade surface available. This was a fantastic match.
This is exactly what you want to see from a triple threat match. Really, like wall-to-wall banging action. It was a triple threat for a lot of times. Then it would splinter off into a one-on-one match. Then it would come back to being a triple threat. Then one of them would get taken up to be the singles match again. Just really, really good action. I absolutely adored this as a main event. And the story of Riddle getting injured and like taking himself out of the match, like you said at the top of the show, really set me up to think, Riddle's going to come back. He's then going to get the win. And that will be the big, like, you know, the big ending shot of the show. No, it's not. Riddle comes down. He makes the big comeback on AJ. He sets up to hit the RKO. He hits the RKO, gets the pin on AJ, and Amos drags AJ out the ring. And as Riddle stands up to be like, bro, he turns into a claymore from Drew so Drew can get the win. I know a lot of people are down on Drew winning this match here. Of the three, and I think I had this with Denise on Friday, of the three, he's probably the one I'd want the least to be in there because I think he needs to be away from the title picture for a little bit because I don't think this is doing him any favors in terms of the he is being overpushed crowd. With that said, I love Drew so much, despite his new terrible gimmick of rubbish Scottish history teacher. That not that Scottish history is rubbish, I'm just saying that it's a gimmick that is not working for him. I love Drew and I want to see him in the match. So I'm kind of, and I like the idea of Drew winning the match and using that as a way to face Bobby. Problem is I've seen that match 20,000 times. I don't really want to see it again.
Well, it can't happen again because he cannot challenge for the title while Bobby is champion. Whether they stick to that or not remains to be seen. I totally agree. I think this might not be the wisest thing to quell the, Drew's overpushed crowd. For me, I thought it was... I'm really excited about the directions they can go in here. Because either he wins it... First of all, just Drew brings it every Monday night. I thought he was excellent in this match. He's consistently excellent and every time the bell rings. So it's like any sort of frustration I have with Drew, the amount he's pushed, immediately goes away as soon as he starts wrestling. And I am now he cannot be near the title... I'm very much on board again. So he's in the Money in the Bank match. Either he wins the Money in the Bank briefcase and he cannot cash it in on Bobby Lashley because of the stipulation. That's interesting in and of itself. So I personally find that very exciting. Or he does not win the briefcase, which I think is even better. And he's just like, it's like when Shawn Michaels was so desperate to face The Undertaker heading into the second WrestleMania clash. I'm like, maybe that could happen to Drew in the title.
Or, here's a pitch for you, Jinder takes him out next week and Jinder gets himself inserted into the match instead. And that can set up the Jinder-Drew McIntyre match for SummerSlam.
Oh, you found a way to make it bad. Look, I know they both want to work together and I'm sure there's a portion of 3MB people who are fapping off right now to the thought of that. I don't care. I do not care about seeing that feud. I don't care about seeing that match. I don't think it will be anywhere near as good as a match Drew could have with someone else. Overall, though, I gave this a 4 out of 5. Realistically, it's a 3 out of 5.
I was going to say, this is a 3 out of 5 show, man. Come on. And the chat, we put this in the community poll. 57% thought this was an average show. Look at that as a poll. 57%. It's like a big penis or a middle finger. It's 57% there for average. 16% thought it was a 4 out of 5 show. 12% thought it was 2 out of 5. 11% thought it was a 1 out of 5 Rawful show. I don't think anyone could say that was a Rawful episode of Raw. I think that would be quite unfair to do so. But it was a bang average show. Doing the bare minimum and scraping by WWE, then, now, forever.
Hey, but do you know when was really good? How about 23 years ago yesterday? King of the Ring 1998, Mick Foley versus The Undertaker, Kane versus Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock versus Ken Shamrock in the King of the Ring finals. That sounds like a great show.
Spoiler.
If only I could relive it. Oh, sorry, yeah. If only I could relive it with my best buddies, Luke and Ollie. Well, you can. If you go over to WrestleTalk's Patreon page, we did a special WrestleTalk Extra podcast reviewing that show just last week. And if you give $25 a month or more, you'll get your name read out on this very podcast. So thank you, The Jinx, Lynx the Sun.
Michael Mislayan McKees.
Colin McLeaner than Finn Balor.
The Snapdragon King, Ryu Odonte.
The Real Shorty G, Aaron.
Ross Pooper Scooper Cooper.
WrestleTalk's personal problem solver, Jamie Donovan.
The man with the scoops, Sean.
Not the Sean.
I don't think it's that Sean. Sean would never pay us money to get, hear our podcasts.
Tower of London, Nigel Morris.
Black and Decker Dane.
What's love got to do with it, Matthew Turner.
And lastly, for this Hall of Fame class, on the 29th of June 2021, name of your 2000s pay-per-view, Chaos Rising.
That is an excellent wrestling nickname. Please do go over to Patreon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One other thing I wanted to promote from the Patreon podcast that we did was your new love of Dan the Beast 7. And we dive into Dan's short tenure within the WWF and Ollie's absolute adoration and love of what he brought to those like 8 glorious months that he was there.
Yeah. A massive moustache, predominantly. What a tash. Get your Ultra Chats into WrestleTalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one over $5 by the end of this episode. Charles Berg says, "Well, wasn't an insult, so Ollie gets another cat." Have you got
it? I've got it right here. There's the cat.
That is a ninja cat. It's like a member of Retribution. Like its face is a mask, and the rest of it is just its normal fur. But just so you know, cats and dogs are equal to me. I hope Raw doesn't get good too often. I only have 4 cats, but I watch over 30 different dogs. Kofi promo was fire. Ernest dumbass Matt Riddle is best boy. That's Charles Berg there. Thank you very much.
No actual Kevin? Review of the cat, though. Oh, no, the Chlorine.
No review of the cat.
It's later on. It's right at the end.
Oh, well, I'll just read that now, then. Here it is. Chlorine review number 2. Get that cat back up. Puddy is a stay calico cat with that FU mentality. She's a sweet cat who loves her doggy brother Blue, licks her ear when they are alone, but she can strike fear in the hearts of all dogs. Nicknames: Puds, Queen Pea and Combat Cat. Jam that jam.
Combat Cat.
Kevin, love the Kofi MVP promo. If I remember correctly, MVP said it was Kofi Mania that brought him back to WWE. I'd love Kofi to use it as a way to say that without Kofi, MVP wouldn't come back and Bobby wouldn't be WWE champion.
There's a lot in this, a lot that they can mine, which I really, really like.
Jediah Steele here has said, that's no Oliver the Cat. If you're wondering, yeah, Sean has named his Russian blue cat after me. go and say thank you from me to Sean about that.
Yeah, every single person here, go and tag Sean Ross Sapp on Twitter, and every single person say this exact message. Thank you for naming your cat after Oliver Davis at WrestleTalk.
What a nice guy. I didn't know we were that close. I was a bit like, it was a bit awkward. I know you a bit, but you know, he's a keen boy, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Amro, I think WWE's idea with Eva Marie's storyline is that Piper can be on Raw as long as she stays with her. Otherwise, it's back to NXT UK. Also, Ollie, did you not do a sponsorship with the supplier of your ass cheek implants? Would be a missed opportunity. No, maybe I should.
So
Brazilian butt lifts.
That storyline works if the commentary explained that or a promo explained that. That unfortunately is us putting in our own that's our own sort of like trying to make sense of the story because it does currently make no sense. But it's not the story they're currently telling, because the story they're currently telling is not a story. Dylan Jason Voorhees said, thank you guys for everything you do. You help during dark days, and I love you for that. Also, do you think there's a possibility of Edge winning at Money in the Bank? I can see Edge versus Cena at SummerSlam. Maybe it's just me, but I'd love to see them go one more time at smiley face. Much bigger monies in Roman Cena, not Edge Cena at this point, I would have thought.
I think Edge Cena is a great match to also do, though, but maybe not for the title.
Yeah.
Keep the title on Roman and make it more about a grudge thing between Edge and Cena. Also, John McNeil here, Mortal Kombat.
Very good. Mortal Kombat! Sarah Sullivan, that Roman and Sasha video felt like a Bollywood romance film. I don't know what's funnier, the video or the fact that Ollie was probably eating ice cream binge-watching these videos at 4 a.m. thinking to himself, God, Roman is so hot. Have a good one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's how I stumbled across them.
You have wrecked our YouTube algorithm now. Like, if I go onto the homepage of YouTube through the main WrestleTalk account, it's going to be nothing but those videos.
Because they're quite short, I watched a lot of them.
It's going to it's going to be a lot of
Okay.
And Sunday League football, because that's what Andy Datson is watching on his when he's not at work. That's pretty much all of the YouTube algorithm front page is going to be.
There was another one I wanted to... Read the last one and I'll find this one.
The last one is from Vomitio Calante. Smush for the content. Hand on ass, belly to belly, hug and all. I have to super chat for the idea. Imagine what I would pay for the content. OnlyFans.
I have no idea. Because I was just clicking on stuff. I don't know where this is. Let me share my screen and we can find this together.
I mean, Ollie, in 4 minutes' time, the coverage of the England game is going to start. So,
well, that's it. We've got 4 minutes and we can appreciate some of these excellently made thumbnails. Do you remember when Sting faced off against Braun Strowman over here? They're right up against each other. And the great Carly.
Yeah. It's like, actually, this is a bit like scrolling through WrestleMania at times, looking at these thumbnails.
Ronda Rousey, love Roman Reigns. Where is it? Ah, I can't even remember. What is that?
Roman Reigns WhatsApp status?
What? What is it?
What was it? Was it
89 seconds long? He's famously the big dog. You know what those are?
They're big cats.
Oh, where is it? What's there's another one. Look, there's just these lions. What does it mean? Oh, I love this channel
what
so much.
What does it mean?
Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. This is the one I watched earlier. I don't understand what's going on.
So for okay, I'm going to try and do a running commentary, and I bring it back up on it because we've got audio listeners. I'm going to try and do a running commentary on that, so that I can try and find out what that all meant.
Do you want me to mute it?
Yeah, if you mute it, and I'll provide a running commentary for it. So what we've got here is Roman Reigns in his Shield days.
Well, I'll go back to the start.
Swooshing his hair back next to a photo of a child, a baby, and then Roman turns around and he points to the child and it says, "Agree with me." And then it ends with Roman doing the hoo-ah phase. Is that Roman as a child?
Oh, I don't know. Why, what's the Lion King doing at the bottom?
Or maybe he's
That might have just been me. What?
What do you mean that might have just been you?
All those views. I've watched it a lot of times. It's a short.
I see. Are there any comments for it?
Not for this one. Oh, I remember there being loads. What's this? Roman Reigns and Ronda Rousey love story status.
Why are you screwing up our algorithm so much?
This is another one.
So this is Ronda Rousey is now coming out on the stage. Roman's already there. Very juttery video. That's got 265,000 views.
What the hell is
going it just
on?
Like, is it just like, are these shipping videos?
I think they are.
I learned about shipping
videos. But they're
not
very good.
Because my wife introduced me to shipping videos a few years ago. Just got to bring
sorry, I didn't mean back. I didn't mean to replay it. I'll stop that now.
My wife introduced me to shipping videos a few years ago because she fell into a bit of a rabbit hole of watching them through at one point in her life. She really got into them. I didn't know they were a thing. And she was showing me some of the, like, from the Flarrowverse, like, TV series and stuff. So, like, ones for Arrow and The Flash. I was like, man, got to give credit to some of these people who are making these look like real life things. They're making these look like actual scenes from movies. It's quite impressive, really.
Just like that.
Oh, yeah, I totally believe that Roman Reigns was pointing to the picture of a child.
TPA, unfortunately, has just pointed out, you may be copyrighted, Ollie. These are all Bollywood songs from famous companies, so knowing you all.
If I get a copyright strike on my channel because you want to play this video and then you've balked our algorithm, I'm going to be so mad.
Who wants to hear some Metallica? Just got them up now. Okay, that's enough fun for today. Go and give 2099 WWE a subscribe.
And us while you're at it.
Great work from SmackDown. The best place to see all the SmackDown clips. Raw's better. Take that loss. Lost intangibles. The two-day power trip is over. And of course, give us a subscribe here on the WrestleTalk podcast channel. We're back on Thursday for the first time in over a month with the AEW Dynamite review.
Cannot wait. Yeah, and the intelligibles. I think we're already limited ads already.
Oh,
Davis, what have you done? I will say we're always on limited ads after a live stream, so this may not be a problem. So it might be okay.
This was all for nothing.
If you will permit me, Ollie, I've got a new segment I would like to pitch for the podcast to encourage people to email in. So
have we still not got emails?
No, we still haven't got emails. This show is not as popular as it once was. I think
Peel and Tempest still getting emails?
Yeah, I would say about 5 to 7 a week.
What the hell?
Emails. But we don't get any emails because every time you start a segment, you shut it down 3 weeks later. You give it the 3-week push. And so we don't do things like We don't do Rusev Hayes or Get Betters or all that sort of stuff. The stuff that we used to do that really like, engaged our audience.
I know because
you gave them the 3-week push. But so I've got a new spin on the Rusev Hay.
Yeah.
So last night, my wife and I we've started rewatching the X-Files, and we're also because we've now finished Game of Thrones and all that. And like, I watched all the episodes of that. So we were looking for a new show to start. So my wife said to us, actually, do you know what? I'd like to watch The X-Files. Start watching The X-Files. Last night, however, she was not in the mood to watch The X-Files, nor was she in the mood to watch Friends. So I was like, oh, what do we want to watch then? And she just went, Taskmaster?
WrestleTalk like, News? Ah, oh, damn it. I thought she was going to say WrestleTalk.
So we went back to the very start of Taskmaster to watch that again. By the way, first series of that, very, very weird show to watch because it does not feel like Taskmaster. It's a very funny show, but it doesn't feel like Taskmaster. Like, it's a show that grew into itself, like a lot.
What's missing?
It's the Greg is not the Greg that you know now on Taskmaster. Like, he's much more like interactive with the audience and things like that. And there's like, it feels like they're co-hosts of the show, like him and Alex, as opposed to now where it's like Alex does all the task-based stuff and Greg is just there to provide, you know, the points in that. Like, watching the first couple of episodes, he's like, okay, here's our next task and this is what you're doing. So, like, it's just, and like, the editing's a bit weird on it. Anyway, that's not the point of the story. Point of the story is, I turned to my wife after episode 2 and I said, I've never met Ramesh Ranganathan, but if I did, I would really be afraid that I would get it wrong. And I would be worried that he would go away from meeting me being like, what a prick. And what I
just because you said his last name wrong.
Ramesh Ranganathan.
Well, what would you get wrong?
Oh, right. No, I don't know. That's the thing, Ollie. I just don't know.
Oh, you would get the interaction wrong.
I would just get something wrong. Like, I would just say something, whatever it is, I would just do something wrong. I would just get it wrong. And my wife was like, well, I think you would probably think that of a lot of comedians. And I was like, actually, I don't. Like, if I met Josh Widdicombe and he went away from that interaction with me, we'd go like, what a prick. I don't think I'd mind as much. But I really like Ramesh and I think he's really funny. So I'd want him to think I'm cool, right? So it got me thinking, are there any wrestlers that you would be afraid to meet just in case you got it wrong? And I'm not talking about The Rock or Steve Austin or CM Punk, you know, your top level names, just wrestlers. Like, I would be afraid to meet Raven and get it wrong. Like, I just would. I just think I would get it wrong and I would be afraid to meet him. Kind of like when you met Kurt Angle and you didn't actually want to interact with him for fear of getting it wrong, right?
Well, yeah, my answer is quite simple. All of the wrestlers. I don't like meeting famous people. I was fine with Adam Blompier because, you know, he's just a regular Joe. So he's such a regular guy. But yeah, in general, that I hate doing the interviews as well. Oh, and press junkets. That's your bag. You love meeting the famous people. You've got this like wonderful lack of self-doubt when it comes to meeting famous people, I've observed. That's why you're so good in those roles.
Oh, thank you. But like, you know, conversely, like, so I was on the BT Sports bus last year. It was weird. It was last year that we did that. Charlotte Flair was on
it was outside.
Bus. Well, actually, no, it was on a bus. It was literally confined to a bus. Charlotte Flair was on that bus. If I'd have met Charlotte Flair on that day, which I didn't actually do, I didn't get to interview Charlotte Flair or Andrade. And I got it wrong. I honestly wouldn't think about it. Like, it would not faze me whatsoever if I got that wrong, because I guarantee you they won't remember me either. So, like, they won't remember me at all. And it's just something that would just be like, oh, man, can't believe I said this thing when I met Charlotte. However, Nikki Cross was on that bus and I did get to interview her. If I'd have got that wrong, I'd be thinking about that a lot. Like, man, I can't believe I got the Nikki Cross interview wrong.
So it sounds to me, because I think this is a difficult one. If I'm struggling to understand what you're looking for, I think I fear for the segment's legs. But to help you refine this pitch to the audience, it sounds to me like you are worried about the interactions where you believe a genuine friendship could blossom from.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting way of
putting it. Because Nikki Cross, like, she seems like a genuinely nice person who I bet in real life outside of wrestling, you could get on quite nicely with. CM Punk, for me, you know, famously prickly. I don't think I would actually, we would get on in real life as much as I want that to happen. So yeah, I guess like Daniel Bryan would be a good answer.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, Daniel Bryan's a good one.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Raven, I feel like Raven's going to hate you regardless of what
you do. I think he would as well.
And I think he already does. He recorded that video for you.
And I guarantee he does not remember recording that video for me whatsoever. No. But I just think that if I met Raven and we did a show together or whatnot, and he wouldn't remember me the following day, but I would remember it. And if I got it wrong, I'd be like, oh man, that was a bit annoying. I got that meeting with Raven wrong. But I don't think I would be like that cut up about it.
Mm.
However, when I met, I interviewed Viper when we did the WOS tour. If Viper walked away from that, or Shah Samuels.
Who's Viper?
Sorry. Or Dewdrop, to apologize.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, if either of those had walked away being like, what an absolute bell end, I'd have been like, oh man, I can't believe I got it wrong in front of Viper and Shah Samuels. I mean, but did you think that? Because Shah got quite angry with you during that interview because you tried to play the tube stop game with him. And he did not seem on board with it.
No, I think it's always difficult to know when Shah's doing a bit. Because he's very good at the bits. And after a while, you just end up getting a bit scared.
I mean, I'll just say, I'm glad I did the Viper interview and I gave you the Shah Samuels one.
Mm-hmm. So, and any other... I can't... So what are you asking people to email in about, and what is this segment called?
This segment is called Getting It Wrong. Right. And it would be like, who would you not want to get it wrong in front of?
Mm.
Like if you met a wrestler at an event or at a signing or at a whatnot or in the supermarket or something, and you'd be afraid to get it wrong in front of them. Like how you wouldn't walk up and say hello to Kevin Kelly because you didn't want to get it wrong.
No. Why ruin something that's perfect?
Exactly. You don't want to risk it. So you're like that. Yeah. It's a meeting you don't want to, you're a meeting you wouldn't risk doing in case you got it wrong.
Suzuki, Minoru Suzuki, perfectly fine. I gave him a little cheeky nod when he walked past. Kevin Kelly, I cannot even look at him. His brilliance is too much for this world. So much like the first series of Taskmaster, I think this segment is going to change pretty rapidly.
Oh yeah, 100%. Because like this was born out of me saying I don't want to meet Roman Sranganathan in case I get it wrong. And I was like, brilliant, we need some email topics. That'll do. I'll workshop it with Ollie on the podcast.
Yeah. So how about it's kind of like Rusev Hey, but it's just embarrassing encounters with wrestlers.
No, because we've kind of had that, haven't we? Because that was like Rusev Nays, right? Oh, no, that wasn't when you...
Yeah, but you never met them. You never met a Rusev Nay. You just thought you might have met a Rusev Nay.
That was a good segment, that, wasn't it? I don't know why we stopped doing
it. We could just bring them back.
I would actually like to bring those back.
Support@WrestleTalk.com.
support@WrestleTalk.com. Do send us an email. Also get in your reviews on Apple Podcast. Follow us on there as well. Follow us on Spotify and all those other good stuff. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening. We'll see you on Thursday for the AEW review. It's back, everyone, like a renegade master. And Pete and Tempers will be back tomorrow with the NXT review. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.